and pianist. What I say to you now, I say to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A man checking into a hotel noticed what he thought was the hotel slogan. There are no problems, only opportunities. Upon entering his room, he was greeted by a growling guard dog. Near panic, the man inched his way around to the phone, called the desk, and stuttered out, "I have a problem in my room." To which the desk clerk responded, "At our hotel, there are no problems, only opportunities." The man quickly replied, "You can call it what you want, but there is an attack dog in my room and I need help." As life is, unsettling situations have both problem and opportunity wrapped up inside them. When our opinions are weighed in the balance of uncertainty, we have a choice. Will I deal with this matter as a problem to be endured or an opportunity to be overcome? Today's gospel lesson takes place only a couple days before Jesus' arrest, trial, and crucifixion. According to tradition, Jesus and his disciples are in Jerusalem for Passover. They go to the temple. There, observing the thousands of men and women coming and going, Jesus probably overheard one of his followers admiring the grandeur of that marvelous building. Abruptly, he replies with an unexpected response, which I will paraphrase. "All this beauty, every dressed stone, every ornate fixture will one day soon be nothing but rubble." Confused, even stunned, they ask, "Teacher, when and how in God's name will such destruction come about?" At that moment, our Lord proceeds to describe in broad strokes the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple that some 40 years later come to pass under the Roman general Titus and his 10th legion. Jesus does not focus on the future crashing, burning, and looting of the temple. Rather, he concentrates on how those who confess his name must live their lives in the face of difficulties that could become opportunities. Now, of those listening then, as probably some of us today want to hear the rest of that conversation. Do we? Why? Because our Lord tells us that when we follow him, when we say yes to being a Christian, we place our lives in the most challenging of places we can ever imagine. For those living in the first century, it meant persecution, arrest, prison, even death. Within our lifetimes, some still pay the ultimate price of being a Christian. To embrace our Lord's values to love our enemies, to speak peace in presence of war, to offer reconciliation in the middle of division always requires courage. That choice is one we all must make every day God gives us. The first choice we make is whether or not we will actually live the faith we confess. To be brutally honest, it's one thing to say in the middle of meaningful worship, I believe in God the Father Almighty, and in Jesus Christ, our Son, His Son, our Lord, and quite another to use these words day after day, month after month, year after year. For those first Christian disciples, being a Christ follower was not so much an expression of words, but a way of life. They left their nets and their families, walked away from many of their formative religious experiences, and followed a peasant carpenter from Nazareth. What did they get for their trouble? Church history tells us all but one of the first 12 disciples died a martyr's death. What did they get? They knew physical abuse, emotional abandonment, and more than a few wounded and broken friendships. The choice to be a Christian in our speech, our actions, our lifestyles, our values, is a choice we make every day. What will you choose? If we choose first to follow our Lord, the second choice will be to choose whether life's challenges are problems to be endured or opportunities to overcome. The key verses in our gospel lesson are verses 13 and 14. After telling his followers the kinds of abuse they would experience, Jesus says, "This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds." He then goes on to advise them not to make up their minds immediately about what they would say. Rather, they should see these moments as opportunities to be faithful in saying something positive and hopeful in Christ's name. In fact, he assures them that he will give them the words and the wisdom to convince their opponents. As we live our lives, we discover that to be human is to experience more than a few of life's struggles. We struggle for health, with our career, with our family, with relationships, with money, and yes, with faith. At every turn, the key is never if we will have struggles, but rather how we will live through our struggles as men and women of faith, hope, and love following Jesus Christ. Finally, the choice to follow Jesus and to embrace life's challenging moments with faith has one further option. Will we choose to trust in God's faithful presence? It is one thing to sing with great conviction, simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, and quite another thing to actually trust in God's unfailing presence in the middle of life's storms. The promise our Lord gave to those first disciples is still the promise he offers us. He promises to be with us. Our choice is to trust, no matter how brutal life becomes. God chooses to love us, strengthen us, guide us, and yes, even bless us, no matter what. Furthermore, as Isaiah assures, the people of God can expect new heavens and a new earth. Isaiah's familiar images of the wolf and the lamb eating together, and the lion and the ox both eating straw, are powerful metaphors of how the new earth will look. Words like be glad, rejoice, a joy, a delight, overtake the negative words of weeping, cry, distress, calamity. Let us hear the word of God. Difficulties, even persecution, because of our faith, will no doubt come to every one of us. When they do, let us make the choice to speak and act in faithful ways, trusting Jesus Christ, who promises to be with us always. Amen. Let us now sing the hymn, Be Still My Soul.